Okay, good afternoon, everybody. How are we doing tonight?
Good.
Great, thanks.
Good. I have to say good afternoon, how are we doing tonight, because I have no idea where everybody's at, so I figured that covers a little bit of everything, unless you're in Tokyo or something. That might be an issue, but my name is Steve Olson. I'm stepping in for Kurt today, who is on a plane to Tokyo. So I'll cover what we need to cover for the day, and then open it up for questions towards the end so that you can float past me whatever you need to. If you're somewhere that's noisy or that is an inconvenient place for you, go ahead and hit *6 and mute yourself out, especially if I'm on speaker too, because everybody else can hear me echoing through the line if that's the case.
Just
but what
we're
going to do today is, yeah, I think we may have somebody out there on speaker. You're going to have to turn it way down if that's the case, or mute your speakerphone. Ah, there we go. Much better. Thank you very much, whoever the unnamed offender was. We appreciate it. And if you've got a comment you need to make and you're muted, hit *6, come back in. I'm happy to listen to your comments or your questions, and we will open it up for questions and answers at the end of this as well. So we're going to discuss something that's very important today. Everything that Kurt has been teaching you needs to be applied through the lens or through the paradigm of what I am going to talk about today. And we may continue it into next week as well because it's that important. We've talked about it on the calls before, but the concept is personality types. Whatever sales, influence, or persuasion technique you're using needs to be tailored and needs to be customized to the personality type of your audience or whoever you're talking to. And if you were going to go down to Borders or to Barnes & Noble and look into this topic a little bit more, you would find a lot of books on the subject. You would quickly find that there's more than 60 personality types out there. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to be able to digest all that and apply all that in a conversation with somebody. It's over the years been chopped down and distilled into 4 personality types or roughly 4 groups that you need to be mindful of. So when you're presenting evidence, when you're presenting statistics, when you're trying to craft how long your pitch should be or whatever it may be, do it with the personality type of your audience in mind. And you may be saying, well, I don't even know what these are. I don't even know how to diagnose somebody from a particular personality type. That's okay. That's what we're here to talk about today. So what I want you to do is whatever you're taking notes with, I want you to write down 4 things. I use colors to talk about personality types. For me, it's the easiest. There's a million different ways that people do this, though. So I want you to write down red and then leave a good amount of space, blue, then leave more space, yellow, and white. It really helps, too, on future calls if you're asking us about a particular prospect or something, to refer to what personality type they are, because that'll definitely have a bearing on how we would answer the question. So each of these personality types has a dominant, I want to say, desire or a craving or something they need fulfilled before they will lower their guard and listen to you. Many times you have to continually fulfill it, or you'll lose their attention, they'll lose the desire to listen to you. You think of personality types like a language. If I come up to you and start speaking Indonesian, you're going to quickly lose interest because you have no idea what I'm saying.
Right.
It's almost that dramatic when we're talking about personality types. If somebody comes up to you and talks to you in blue and you're white, you're going to lose interest. You're not going to be persuaded by them. Happened to me today. I'm red. Somebody was talking to me like I was a yellow. They couldn't see, but I was playing games on my iPhone during the whole presentation because I was bored to tears. because they were presenting to me in the wrong personality style. So let's talk about the Reds really quickly. Personality Red, they need to have control and power. If your prospect doesn't feel like they have this from you, they're not going to listen. Red personality types usually gravitate towards professions where they can lead or be in control. They start businesses, they run companies, they're lawyers, they're police, military, management, somewhere generally where they can tell others what to do. That's what they like to do. They dress conservatively yet powerfully, meaning they'll wear solid colors, but they like a good solid name brand in their dress typically as well. Same with a car. Red would drive a black BMW or a white Mercedes. Something solid but not too flashy. If you were to go into a Red's office, it would be somewhat cluttered. There probably wouldn't be anywhere for you to sit because they don't want you staying long. They're there to work, not chat with you. There may be some pictures on the wall of degrees from prestigious places that they went to school or prestigious accomplishments. Show you that they're powerful and in control. They like to get to the point. You'll notice that if you listen to their voicemail, it will be to the point. They'll say, hey, this is Bob, leave a message. That's it. So those are a couple of quick techniques to identify a Red personality. Look for those things, but generally your interaction with them and how they treat you and how you observe them behaving is going to center around control and power. The bottom line. Let's talk about the Blues. If we were to use one word to describe Blue personalities, it would be analytical. They want to analyze data. They want to make correct decisions based on what makes the most sense. And usually time is not a factor there. They will take the necessary time. If they feel pressured, if they feel hurried, they're going to shy away from you and avoid you. These are engineers, scientists, software developers, technicians, people who have their sleeves rolled up in the details every day. Their office is going to be very neat and clean. It's going to have a system to it. Everything is in a place for a reason. A lack of order and a lack of reason drives them crazy. They'll drive an efficient automobile. Now, efficient could be a little bit different depending on what kind of Blue you're talking to. Efficient can mean money-wise, or it was cheap for them to get into. And in addition, you're looking at things like safety, gas mileage. A lot of Blues drive a Prius or a small economical pickup. Enough to get the job done and no more. Okay, let's move on to yellows. And I apologize, we kind of have to move quickly on a topic like this. But with yellows, if we were to use one word to describe them, it would be outgoing. Yellow like fuck. They like to be in the mix. They like to be in the middle of everything, involved with the latest and greatest. They're in advertising, in sales, the arts. They're artists. Functional. Creative types thing. Where they get to just let it all out. They're not inhibited by a ton of rules and regulations. Blues love that kind of thing. Yellows absolutely do not. And their office is going to look like a hurricane hit it. There's going to be pictures of loved ones everywhere, papers stacked everywhere. They're not concerned about neat and tidy. They're concerned about interacting and having fun. You know, if you're trying to persuade a blue, you may sit down and go over some statistical reports or some numbers or something. With a yellow, go skiing. Go do something fun. Go out to lunch. That's the kind of thing they like. The way they evaluate it is, if they can't go have a little bit of fun and go skiing with you and enjoy it, why would they want to do business with you? To them, there's not really a line between those two things. Talk about whites really quickly, and then I'll give you some tips on dealing with each of these personality types. If I were to use one word for whites, it would be nurturing. Whites love to take care of other people, sometimes to their own detriment, okay? They're notorious for taking care of other people much more than they take care of themselves. Okay, they're going to be in support professions, nurses, teachers, social workers, somewhere where they can help out, where they can help make everything run smoothly. That's what they do. Their office is going to be cozy. There's going to be a chair there for you. They'll offer you something to drink. They want to make sure you're happy. So let's discuss very briefly how we can start to deal with some of these personality types. But why don't we, before we do that, let's pause everything and open it up. Does anybody have any questions so far, or are you hanging with me pretty well to this point?
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can someone be a combination as dominant? Like, I've seen a lot of people who are a lot of fun, but they're also nurturing even to their own detriment.
Yeah, that's a good question, and yes, they can be two personality types. What we typically see is that you usually have one that is more dominant in your career and another that is more dominant in your personal life.
Oh,
that makes sense?
It does. Thank you.
Yeah, that's people usually gravitate there. I'm kind of a weird one, for example. I'm more red in my business life, but I'm very white in my personal life. I want everything to be okay and everything to be smooth. So, yeah, watch for that. And you're probably already thinking of people, you know, that, you know, fit in different categories. So let's talk then real quickly about how to deal with these personality types. All right, let's rewind back to the reds. When you're dealing with a red personality, you want to ditch the small talk. Do not ask them how they are doing if you have no previous relationship with them. That's a big mistake. I was calling real estate brokers in San Francisco a couple years back. It was pure cold calling. We were trying to get a project off the ground. Long story. And I called this real estate broker who picked up the phone and said, "Yeah, this is Bob." I said, "Hey, Bob, how you doing today?" And he said, "Not so good, because this is going to be a sales call." Right? Bob knew that I didn't know him. He didn't know me. And he knew that when it got right down to it, or at least he felt, I didn't really give a crap how he was doing, right? That's how a red thinks. So ditch the small talk. Only when you have a relationship with the red over time do you have the green light to launch some small talk. Okay? You want to give them control, which means you need to let them know out of the chute that time and money is not going to be sacrificed. They're worried that you're going to waste 30 minutes of their time on a sales pitch only to want to take some of their money. So how can we minimize the risk of time and money? We could say, for example, Mr. Red, I've got some very important points for you on how I can help increase your bottom line, and it's only going to take me 5 minutes to get my point across. If you don't feel like I've done that in that period of time, you've got the green light to hang up, and I'll never bug you again. Then you see how I boxed it in. I said, it's only going to be 5 minutes. That way he can think, okay, I know what's ahead. I know what I'm dealing with. This guy isn't going to ramble on for an undetermined amount of time. Let them know what they're dealing with so they feel like there's something that they know, that there's not the unknown factor anymore. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay. You want to make it be their idea. Present a compelling case, but don't close the case. So we've got options, you know, A through C, Mr. Red. You know your business better than I do. What makes the most sense? Let them have a role in the decision-making process there, so they feel like they've got the control. You've got to check your ego at the door. Understand, they're not worried about how you feel, whether you're having a bad day or not. It doesn't make them a bad person. It's just not on the top of their list. We're not talking whites yet here, okay? So they may interrupt you. They may treat you in a way that you feel is somewhat rude, but it's business, right? I remember a couple of years back, I was at a seminar marketing a product, and I ended up in a one-on-one interview with a woman who had a significant amount of money, and she wasn't afraid to tell people about it. She was very red. And so she told me, she said, look, Steve, I don't like wasting my time at these things. If you're just going to go on and on about how great everything is and, you know, then try to take my money, then we don't even need to talk. And my response was to her, said, yeah, that's fine with me. Sounds like we don't. I don't think this is right for you anyways. Which leads me to the next tactic, which is the ego challenge. Very effective on you. Use that ego challenge. And they feel like they have to prove to you, no, 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 I've got control. I've got power. So there's a big difference, though, between ego challenge and bruising the ego, okay? We want to challenge it. Just like when you're working out, you want to strain your muscle. You don't want to pull it. So call that into question occasionally can be very healthy. But, yeah, put those feelings aside. Don't worry about how they're treating you. Worry about making them feel like they have control. And the way these guys like to communicate is typically through quick face-to-face or quick phone meetings. Don't be surprised if when you're dealing with reds, they didn't get around to checking their email. Don't plan on taking a 45-minute meeting with them. We want quick face-to-face and quick phone meetings to communicate with them. Okay? Let's talk about blue personalities. And like I said, we'll open up this up for questions here in just a couple of minutes. Blue personalities, remember, they want to be right. They want to analyze the details, right? So if you say, okay, Bob, I've given you a fair amount of information here. Why don't you go ahead and analyze those details, and I'll get back to you. You're going to notice something is going to happen. A blue will take as long and longer as you give them to analyze the details. So if you don't put a time limit on it, it's going to be the year 2050 before they get to it. They take all the time in the world. But remember, like I said earlier, if you put the squeeze on them too hard, they're going to feel distant and alienated, and they're going to feel like you've taken away their ability to analyze and make decisions based on data and statistics. So we've got to reach some kind of happy medium in order to be able to deal with these guys. I call it controlled scarcity. If you've ever been to a farm, you notice that horses have a fenced area of a couple of acres. It's big, but it's not infinite. It's not taking up the whole farm or the whole ranch. They need to have a little bit of room to run, but they need to be told when to stop, right? So what you'll do with a blue personality is say, okay, Bill, I've given you a fair amount of information here. Based on your schedule, how long do you think you're going to need to get comfortable with everything and be able to give me a yay or nay on this? Well, I'm going to need about 72 hours. Okay, Bill, I've got a couple of things coming up over the next few days. Is there any way we can do it in 48 instead? Well, I suppose so. I appreciate that, Bill. Thank you for doing that. Let's get together in 48 hours and talk this over and answer your questions. So I let him decide a little bit on the timeline, but didn't give him everything. The fence, right? Never give them everything, because they're going to run with it. They're going to have a question about this. They're going to want to check all the consumer reports and go ask the Dalai Lama and who knows what else. So you got to build that fence and control where they go with it. So remember, they want to be right. Let them know when you feel like they're close to a decision. So, well, I don't know about you, Bill, but it seems like you've gone over most, if not all, of the information here and have made a decision that looks like it makes the most sense. I don't know. Is there anything else I can provide for you? Anything else I can do for you? Give them plenty of statistics to chew on, especially things from third-party sources. And I always like to say, no matter how funny you aren't funny. You don't really need to apply a ton of humor with blues. Once again, just like with the reds, when you have a relationship, it may be effective to some degree, but if they don't know you and trust you yet, they're just going to kind of look at you funny. While the other personality types might be rolling on the floor, if these guys won't do it as much. Okay? So that's a couple of tips on dealing with the blues. Let's go to the yellows. It's not the content. It's not how great your product is. It's the relationship. How well do you get along? How well do they hit it off with you? How is your product the latest and the greatest? What notable testimonials and stories can you use? Did Donald Trump do this thing? Did 3 million people join this company last month? Was this featured in Money Magazine? Here's another point you want to keep in mind. I say with blues, no matter how funny you are, you're not funny. With yellows, you've never caught a bigger fish. What that means is if they're telling you a story about something great, they climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, even if you've climbed Mount Everest, you don't really want to bring it up and dwell on it. You've never done something bigger and better than they have. Let them be the one with the super great story. It's going to take more time to persuade a yellow. You're investing time into a relationship, and they need to talk. I've got a client who's a chiropractor in Southern California, and we have all of his patient files color-coded with one of these dots on the file. And what typically happens is he takes a patient back to the adjustment room, does his thing as a chiropractor, and he brings them back out to the secretary to reschedule. And he knows that based on how he communicates personality-wise, these people are more likely to feel comfortable and keep coming back. So he'll say, okay, secretary, Bill here is done, and he'd like to come back sometime late next week, so I need you to get him set up. Hey, see you later, Bill. And he goes to the back and the secretary takes it from there. And she sees that yellow dot on the file, and she knows that she needs to book out 25 minutes instead of the usual 15 minutes, because it's just going to take longer. They're going to want to talk more, and they need to feel more comfortable. But the great thing about that is you might be saying, especially if you're a red, you're going, well, tell them to deal with it. Who cares, right? But you're investing time in a relationship. Keep in mind, these yellows, they talk. They're going to be the one that's most likely to be talking you up out there in the warm market, in the word-of-mouth market. So that extra little bit of time is well worth it to make sure they're happy, because they're the best promoters. They're not shy to talk about something that they like. You can use a technique where you say, that's great, which reminds me. Let's say you asked a yellow personality, you know, why they were looking for a home-based business. Why are you looking for a home-based business, Bill? Well, you know, things have been really tough at the office lately. Another day I was driving in there, and I've got this old Chevy Impala that I drive around, and I was on Interstate 95, and I saw this other guy, and his Impala was black with this fresh paint job. And at the stoplight, I was like, hey, where did you paint your Impala? And you can see quickly, we're going nowhere here, right? And that story is going to get more and more off track, and that's where you can come in and say, that's a great point, which reminded me, I asked you about why you were looking to join a home-based business, and I think I misunderstood. What, could you distill that a little bit for me, just so I understand perfectly? So that way you can let them go a little bit, but eventually you got to get a leash around it. These yellows like to be communicated with in personal visits and phone calls to some degree. Whichever it is, there's going to be a lot of how are you, a lot of talking about the weather, and, you know, how did the Chargers do last week, whatever it is, okay? Let's go on to whites. You've heard the saying, help me help you, okay? How can you help them help you? What do you need? Use the law of expectations, and I'll tell you, I'll read this to you. This is out of Kurt's book, Maximum Influence. Here's a quotation from what the law of expectations does. The law of expectations uses expectations to influence reality and create results. Individuals tend to make decisions based on how others expect them to perform. As a result, people fulfill those expectations, whether positive or negative. Expectations have a powerful impact on those we trust and respect, but interestingly enough, an even greater impact on perfect strangers. When we know someone expects something from us, we will try to satisfy him or her in order to gain respect and likability. That's what you need to do with white personalities. It needs to be clear what you expect. But here's the giant asterisk. With a white personality, you need to verify, can they make a decision in the first place? Whites tend to attract more controlling personality types like reds or yellows, who usually are giving them their marching orders. So the last thing you want to do is spend 2 days trying to persuade a white personality only to find out they don't have the authority to make the decision. Find that out and then let them know what's expected. If they are not the decision maker, and then have them give you the decision maker. Make it known that you expect to talk to the decision maker and what a tremendous help they are and how much you depend on and need them, and really play off of that need to give and to nurture. Okay? Well, I've been talking for a half hour here. You guys are patient to listen to me drone on about this. Are there any questions or comments about what we've discussed tonight?
Okay. Steve?
Yeah.
This is Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Star 6.
When you have an audience with two different personality traits, one a red, maybe one a yellow, how should you gear your presentation to the more aggressive or to the less aggressive?
here's a general rule. If you've got an audience, I like to incorporate a decent amount of stories into the presentation, because there's a lot of data that shows no matter what, if you can tell a good story, that will grab every personality type.
Okay.
If you're trying to sell during that presentation, you can use multiple what I call flushes, where you're selling and then you may do a little miniature close in the middle of it to get all the reds, but then you can keep going for the yellows. Send the reds to the back of the room or send the reds to your website, and that's decently effective. But as a general rule, give the bottom line, give a good story, give, you know, a couple of other statistics, whatever it may be, catering to the other personality type, and then at the end say, okay, for you bottom line guys, what does this mean? Then bam, hit it up in 30 seconds, distill it for them.
Thank you, that's very helpful.
No problem. Any other comments or questions?
Steve?
Yes.
How do you judge, let's say on a very first meeting with anyone, how do you judge which personality group a person falls into? What's the quickest way to do that?
There's obviously not an exact science for it, but I gave you, you know, three or four different indicators. I look for two of them. If I've got two indicators that are pointing towards one type, I will generally go with that type.
Okay.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Everybody's asleep now?
No.
Very helpful.
Okay. Well, good. I'm glad that you found it useful. Then what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and wrap this thing up. Remember, keep everything that Kurt has taught you, everything that you've discussed there, send it through this paradigm, send it through this application, and you'll find that it makes a tremendous difference. And we like to review this every couple of months, because you can forget. You know, there's a lot of skills we're talking about here. So take a couple of things that you heard on the call today and put them in, I call it a habits calendar. These skills are habits. You have to develop them over time or you're just going to get overwhelmed. So take two things from today, put it on your calendar every morning to remember, oh, I need to give red personalities control, or I need to make extra time for yellow personalities, whatever it is. And apply that for the next 3 weeks. That's about how long it takes to develop a habit. And once over that three-week period you feel like you are applying it all the time in your sleep, then pull up the next technique and work on that as a habit for the next 3 weeks. Then you'll become very good at this stuff. I went to a yoga class the other day, and it blew my mind. I could do maybe one of the poses, okay? And I could not see how in 3 million years I was ever going to get anywhere close to what this instructor was doing up there. And that's how persuasion can feel sometimes. But the way you get there is you take it one step at a time. So grab a couple of these, make them habits, and move on to the next one. That's all I've got for you guys tonight. We'll be seeing you at some future point on the conference calls here, and Kurt will be back with you next week. Have a good night.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.